The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. On this Feast of the Blessed Trinity, I think it's a great opportunity for us to reflect mainly on what we know about God and the fact that we are made in his image and likeness. I would like to just sort of look at what that looks like exactly. We reflect on one God in three persons, one substance, but three individual persons. So therefore, God is a community. Now, we have to be very careful when we try to speak about or define God, because his being is so far beyond the limits of our understanding and beyond our experience of time and space. All we really can say is God is. You can't say God was or will be, because that would indicate that there is some kind of change in God, and we know that he is immutable. We know God as we see him unfolding over our time, but that doesn't mean he is changing. We are changing. For God, there is no before or after. Everything is now. Even the language of Father and Son is confusing, because it might cause us to think that somehow the Father came before the Son, like it is here on earth, where fathers have sons and daughters, and mothers have sons and daughters. To say that the Son was begotten by the Father, any verb in the past tense, contradicts the reality that God is unchanging and always now. The Father is always revealing his word. He is always begetting. The word is always being born. Present and co-eternal, then, we can only say that the Father is begetting the Son is being begotten in that eternal moment outside of time, where this constant living and loving is complete. We really can't even use the word constant, because that implies a passage of time, doesn't it? And yet the new life that is being generated, that relationship, which would not exist without the two, is the Holy Spirit, who is proceeding from the Father and the Son, itself a perfect personality in this divine community. All of this without a beginning and without an end. We experience things that generally begin and end, and it is hard to have an idea or image of what is endless. Eternal giving, eternal receiving, eternal sharing. It's so much more than the picture of the old guy with a beard, Jesus of Nazareth, and a bird, right? Which is how most of us just think about the Trinity. There's the old guy, there's Jesus, and there's the dove. So as Trinity Sunday is not only a good time to reflect on God, three persons, to consider his image, we can reflect on who we are created in his likeness. One community, many persons. Absolutely equal, nobody before or after the other, sharing everything, serving, each of us emptying ourselves out of love for each other. In this way, we discover our own identity in each other, in everyone. What we experience with God is a moment of time. We know that he is calling or consoling or inspiring or forgiving. All of these moments have been experienced by every human being, every person capable of relationship. In a certain sense, you can see the same outpouring of God in the Trinity that we are capable of feeling, being loved, being spoken to, listening, opening our hearts. In a certain sense, that word becomes flesh in us. We simply have to listen and respond, listen and celebrate. And our response is the same self-emptying that the Son has for the Father. It is not a selfish pluralism of individualistic responses, though. We respond together as one creation with one voice. I was trying to decide if you can have a community of two people. It seems like a couple and a community aren't the same thing. But then again, in that sacramental consent of a couple in marriage, each is self-gift. In the miracle of married life, reveals the Creator's intention for us. And suddenly, there may be a third, a son or a daughter, when that community is formed. I wonder if everyone were to recognize themselves and others as individuals and likenesses of God. We might have a different world entirely. If we were to use the same theological terms to describe ourselves, at least as we ought to be according to God's image and likeness, can we say that we are co-equal, one single principle of essence, nature, power, action, will, indivisible yet direct, distinctly unique personalities? Persons enter into dialogue, and out of that dialogue comes the relationship which allows for service, mercy, and compassion. Companions on the journey are to be in mutual service to one another, walking together and learning how to recognize the presence of Christ walking beside us. This is how the life of the Trinity is, this community of love. And each of us is called to a special vocation. Our lives are inserted into that divine life of the Blessed Trinity. I remember visiting a seminary in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and having a realization of this God-likeness that we are called to. It is in the person of God's most perfect creation, Mary, the mother of his Son, and the mother of our community, the Church. She had the perfect Trinitarian identity, one that we can all hope to glimpse in ourselves. I think it was called the Immaculate Heart of Mary Seminary. It's closed now. But over the altar were the words, "Daughter of the Father, Mother of the Son, Bride of the Holy Spirit."